Hey y'all, welcome back to the Empowering the Future of Agriculture podcast with me, Carson Osteen. Today, we have another great episode, and I am joined by the 2023-2024 West Tennessee FFA Regional Sentinel, Layla Adams. Layla, if you'd like to introduce yourself, go ahead.
Hey guys!
So, I have about 7 to 8 questions that I'm going to ask you today, and I was really wanting to start off with, how did your FFA journey look over your time in high school?
So, my FFA journey throughout high school was definitely a roller coaster. If you would have told me my freshman year of high school that I would have been so involved in agriculture and in FFA, I would have told you that you were crazy, because I had my heart and my mind set on the medical field. Even though I've grown up around agriculture my whole life, I really wanted to do something that I thought was super cool and super fun. And I really wanted to show cattle, but my family kind of pushed me in the direction of goats, as long as some other peers. And when I started showing goats my freshman year, I always tell everybody that it all started with the goat, because I started showing goats my freshman year. And then throughout that is whenever my spark for FFA and ag really started up again. So my freshman year was very messed up because of COVID. So we were on A and B schedule and we weren't always at school. And it was super difficult to manage, trying to fit into high school, but also trying to do FFA and see if it was the place for me. So managing, trying to show, but then also be a part of FFA and not wanting to miss out on events. And we couldn't really have many events. It was just kind of like a rocky start. But I will say that after that is whenever I really, like, started to see, like, okay, this is something that I'm supposed to be doing and where the Lord wants me to be. And so sophomore year, I really got more involved with FFA and connecting with members and our officer team that year. And the same friends that really got me into FFA, they were older than me, and they were on the officer team, and it was their senior year. So it was super bittersweet, and I knew that I needed to be a part and step up in leadership. And so sophomore year is when that really started for me, and then I was able to compete in different things. That was whenever I did my first big competition, which was Ag Issues. And then kind of moving on into my junior year was whenever I got, like, super deep into FFA. I wanted to do, like, all the events and all the competitions, and I just had to kind of pick and choose. And I was so involved in my high school career with other things too, but FFA was always at the top of my list. And I was able to do more competitions my junior year, as well as serve as our chapter secretary. And serving on that first team and going to FFA camp for the first time and just having a lot of first my junior year was super encouraging for me, because, like I said, as I started getting into my high school career with FFA, I started really, really seeing where the Lord was taking me within FFA and the organization. And then senior year, I always say senior year, I didn't come out with the best wins, but in my mind and in what the Lord's wanting me to do, I did have wins. So I may not have won every competition and I may not have won proficiencies, but I did win because I made so many different friendships and connections. And I really figured out where the Lord wants me to be in my life. And he really opened a lot of doors for me that not a lot of people get to have, and that I certainly thought that I wouldn't have my freshman year of high school. And so, yeah, my FFA journey has been so crazy, so fun, so empowering over the last 4 years. And so I definitely will say that it's been a roller coaster.
Oh, definitely. It sounds like it was definitely one of them. Of course, you know, having that whole 1 year pretty much cut in half because of a, you know, worldwide pandemic couldn't have been fun at all. I really couldn't imagine having to go through that.
No.
So I know you mentioned at the beginning of talking about your journey that you were connected to agriculture, like, growing up. Could you maybe expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. So my family owns a generational farm that started in 2003. So we have Adams Farms, where we do row crop of soybeans, corn, and wheat. And so pretty much I was born into our family farm, and I've always had a passion for farming and for agriculture. My dad, he rodeoed and showed cattle throughout high school. We had hogs. horses, anything. I mean, it was just my whole that side of the family and my mom's side, everybody is just agriculture and equine. So I really was connected to agriculture from the first time that I came home from the hospital because I was right on the farm. And growing up, I always wanted to be on the combine and the tractor. I wanted to be helping. I've just always had a connection to agriculture through that way, and that was something that has always been a part of my life. And then over the years, elementary school, middle school, being a part of 4-H, that was something that really empowered me. And then getting to follow into my dad and my grandfather and great grandfathers and aunts and uncles and everybody else's, especially my dad's, footsteps and being in FFA. And he was the sentinel for his chapter, and I got to be sentinel for Western Region. So it was very sentimental my senior year because I had worked so hard and I had just followed in those footsteps and continued to be connected into agriculture and the industry, but then also on my family's farm and keeping the generation alive.
Yeah, so you mentioned, you served last year for our region as the Sentinel. Would you want to maybe walk us through that, your year of service, and like what you took from that, and maybe what your favorite memory was from that year?
Of course. So my regional officer year was not necessarily like everybody else's, starting out at least. So in, let's see, around March, our chapter, which I'm from Dyer County, so our chapter kind of sees who wants to run for region office, and then we have like a runoff. And so we had a runoff, and I got chosen and selected to be our region officer candidate. And I was super excited. I was doing practice interviews, practice tests. I was literally my whole heart and soul was into region office, and I was so excited and just ready. And I was so passionate about it, and I was like so excited. And so the night for region interviews came, and I was so excited, and literally right before I went in the room, I almost threw up. Like, no joke. I was shaking, and sweet Autumn Smith, I love her to death. She was like, "You're gonna be okay." And I was like, "No, I'm not." And I was like, "I don't know what to do." But that was one of like my best memory from that night is that because, you know, I'll get into the night in just a second, but that was like right there, I was like, oh my gosh, this is gonna go so bad. But I interviewed and I was so confident. I had so much fun. I got so much good feedback from the judges, like just right then, like they were, oh my gosh, you know. And I am known, and I'll probably get this way in this podcast in a little bit. Just wait, but you'll figure this out. But my whole chapter always called me like the chapter preacher because when I get to talking about ag and my life and my stories, and I get so passionate and worked up and fired up. And so whenever I've always been known as that way, and I've been known that I get fired up and I start crying and I'm just like blessed, and it's a whole roll of emotions. And so I can never talk in front of a big group of people about FFA because I get fired up and I'm like, we are blessed and we are this and that, and I'm just like boo-hooing, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, but y'all need to know how passionate I am about this. But I remember that one of the questions that they'd asked me was what I thought the biggest issue in agriculture was, and I just fired off, and I was like, you know, not many people know about it. We need to get out there. And I was just so, you know, fired up, and I was like, I walked out, and I was like, boom. I was like, that was one of my best interviews. Like, I was so excited, and I'm pretty sure that I had interviews like first or second. So I was like having an anxiety attack the rest of the night because I was like, oh my gosh, I have to wait now until results. And you know, nursery landscape takes so long. So I was like, oh my gosh. But this is like a side bit. But I will say to anybody, which you know this, and I'll talk about you in a second, but you know, the best thing to do if you're running for anything, chapter office, region office, state office, anything, like talk to the people that are running with you, because that was what helped me calm down. But also, like, those friendships and connections that I made during that night were some of the best ones. Like, sweet little Sarah Downland from Bradford. She was so encouraging and so sweet. And I met her that night of region interviews, and she didn't get it. And whenever I went to church camp in July at Union for Fuge, she was there. And it was just such a good circle moment because FFA is such a big organization that you meet so many people, but you don't just have to keep it into FFA. It can be church, it can be, seeing each other in the Walmart, like school. Like, it's just, there's so many different places that you can see people, and you can be like, oh my gosh, hey, that's so and so, and I went to school with them and I did FFA, or I met them at a convention or a competition. Because one day, those people that we, were in school with in ag, or we met at a convention or at nationals, like, you can remember them, and one day they could be doing something big. And so it was just a really good circle moment. But so I was trying to keep myself calm that night, and I remember right when names got called, mine didn't, and I was crushed. That was one of my biggest heartbreaks in FFA. Anybody that knows anything about FFA, when you're competing, especially with the team, and you and your team like lose, that feeling, everybody's feeling it. Everybody's feeling sad, everybody's feeling down, and everybody is feeling a piece of that sadness. And so, not necessarily that it's bitter, like you just lost, you're upset, you worked hard, but everybody is feeling that sadness. So you don't have the weight. But when I lost region, it was just me. It was all of the weight of sadness on me, and that heartbreak, and that feeling like it was my fault. And so I remember when my name didn't get called, I was just like crushed. I started crying. My advisors just were holding me like, you're okay. And I remember I got in the truck to go home, or to go, we were leaving, and I was like boo-hooing, and I was like, I was upset at myself, but I was more upset at the fact that, like, we had had regional officers from Dyer County for like the past 7 years. Some of those years weren't consecutively, but most of them, it was like every year, every other year, for 7 years, we had had a regional officer candidate, and I was gonna be the eighth one, and it fell, and I wasn't. And I just feel like I had let our chapter down, our chapter name, like everything that we'd stood for, like just all these different things. I just felt like it was my fault. And it wasn't the best night, but I had gotten back to the barn and where we had our meeting spot, and got in my vehicle and was driving home. And The Father's House by Corey Asbury came on, and it was talking about how, this isn't the end of my story. Failure doesn't define me. That's what my father does. And so it was just a super like God moment that he was like, just wait. Like, I have a plan for you, and this does not define you in no way. And I just, I cried on the way home. I got home and I was just like, it's gonna be fine. And about which last year, in April, it was like the very first week of April was region interviews, and then like the very last week of April was banquet. So it was a good, pretty good gap. But this year it wasn't. But I was like, okay, it was a pretty good gap. We had made it through region banquet, and then our chapter banquet was the first week of May, and I had been named chapter president. So I was on a, I was like, okay, Lord, like, this is, I see this is where you needed me. And I was content. I was that what I worked hard for, and I was excited. And so then a couple weeks later, I get a text from my advisors, and they were like, hey, come see us. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is this about? I was like, am I getting fired already? And so I was like, oh my gosh, okay. And no thought ever crossed my mind about region. And I get in there, and this just happened to be the day that sweet Miss Brittany Leatherland, our old ag teacher, she's at Gibson County now, had just told us that morning that she was going to be leaving because she had accepted Gibson County's job. So it was a sad day, you know. She had been like my rock, one of my like second moms. And so I was already, you know, like, I don't know, the day had just been, it was just a long day. And she was like, I know that I've upset you today. And she was like, but I'm fixing to make it better. And she said, Josh Eason called and said that there's an opening on the region team. And you were the seventh one and they want to pull you on the team. And so in that moment, I just bawled. I was like, I'm like, in that moment, God was like, I told you, like, you needed to wait. And I was so excited and I was like, ready. And I was like, okay. So that's kind of how my year started. It was, you know, it was different, but I knew that God needed it to be different and he had different plans. So, but we had a really good year. I would talk forever about our year, but I'll kind of hit some of the high points. Around July, we met to get like our jackets and everything. And that was pretty cool. We all got to kind of see each other and get with Mr. Eason. Mr. Eason is one of the sweetest people ever. He is so funny and such a good leader for our region and coordinating everything. And so I was very grateful to have him as our coordinator. My teammates, I love them to death. I miss them. It was so good being able to lead with them and pray with them and just talk things out. And so July, that's what we did. In August, we had rope, and rope was absolutely so much fun. It was so much fun being able to be back at Camp Clements and being able to be there. And we got to – the theme was Top Gun. So all of the state officers love those girls. They made the theme Top Gun. And so it was like we were on a mission the whole little weekend that we were there. And, like, as soon as we got there – it was just game on. Like, we were all with the other regional officers from across the state and so many great leaders in that room. And we were all just there and we had a good time planning things out. And we had actually already kind of all came together and did, like, we already had our Colton Greenhand theme together. So when we got to the rope, like, they split you up. Different state officers go with each of the regions, and we kind of talk through Colton Greenhand. And we'd already, like, had our theme. We were, like, rolling. And so it was just so much fun to be able to put everything together, all of us together, and with the state officers and with Mr. Eason. And then they took us out on the softball field, like, late that Friday night. And it was so much fun because we were, like, shooting each other with water guns on the softball field. And, like, up so late and just having so much fun. We were all so tired, but it was just such a fun night to all be together. So, rope was absolutely fun. After that was state hand breakfast, and we got to go help out with that. And then September was, like, show season, so we were, like, seeing each other at shows. October, we did Colton Greenhand, and that was so much fun. I absolutely loved helping lead that. There were so many amazing kids there, and just being able to have different kids in my groups come through that I could tell that they were on the verge of wanting to be in FFA, but they weren't sure. And then so many kids were just, like, in their shells, but then as the day went on, they just came out of their shells, and it was just such a great time, and I really enjoyed that. And then, let's see, what was after that? National Convention was after that, so we all kind of did different things there. And then November, we had, I think there were some things in November, I can't really remember. December, we helped out a lot with, like, competitions. We all tried to break up and go to, like, different competitions. That way we can help Mr. Eason out. And I was able to help out in Dyersburg with the Parley and CCM, and so that was super fun. And we had a Christmas party and got, like, all dressed up in, like, Christmas stuff. And January, we helped out with ag issues. And then February was legislative breakfast, and me and BA got to take over one of those days. and kind of meet with some different people that day. I absolutely love legislative breakfast. It's just a fun time for me because I get to meet so many different people. March was state convention, and we had our last little get together before, and we cheered each other on at state convention and got to watch Sarah, and that was such a cool accomplishment for her. And then April, you know, it kind of all got real, and then, you know, we were on that other side. We were helping out the kids that were interviewing and talking about you. Like, you were just such a light, and we were all like, this kid is like going somewhere. Like, you were just so confident, and we were so excited. And you know, I think about you a lot because, you know, I was in your shoes. Like, I knew when my name didn't get called. Like, I know what that feels like. But you have another year to try, and I believe that you can do it. You're already putting yourself out there so much and being, you know, a leader and empowering ag. So I think that there's a lot of potential with you and a lot of others as well. A lot of those kids, I mean, it felt so good. It felt good to be on the other side of it, obviously, but it wasn't just about us being regional officers, because to be honest, me being in a leadership position like that, I never once would always think about, like, I'm better than somebody else. I was just another person that was the age of everybody else, pretty much, just trying to help people grow in FFA and grow within the industry that they want to be in. And, you know, have a laugh, have a cry, be a shoulder, you know, just being there for people. And seeing all the kids interviewing, you know, really reminded me of myself. But it was just that being able to be there and help calm them down and just have a laugh before they went in. And then right before the team was announced, I was able to get with my team and we prayed over the team. And it was a great year. It really was. I wish that I could go back, but it was just such a great year to be able to spend with my team. And it was, I don't know what else there is to say about it. It was a really good year. There's things that, you know, we wish we could have done differently, but, you know, you seem like once you get elected, you're like, okay, we have a whole year. Yeah, but then you blink and then you're passing it down, and it's just like, oh well, we should have done this, you know. It's so much. And then, you know, you've got school and you've got your own chapter, and so it's just very, very fast, and so many memories get to be made with being on the region team. So it was a great experience.
Yeah, I can definitely vouch for the, you know, the whole feeling that you get, and, you know, just, you know, hearing all six names, and of course you're cheering them on at the same time, and, you know, the face you got to put on is kind of hard sometimes. But so you talked about your regional officer year. Could you maybe talk about what, like, your favorite, like, maybe competition was throughout your time in FFA?
So my favorite competition with FFA would probably be Ag Issues. I did Ag Issues my sophomore year, and we made it third in the state. And then I did it my junior year, and we were first in the state. We won, and then we went to nationals and competed, and we were top 16 in the nation. So that was such a cool moment for me, because I never went that far with the competition. And like I said, I love to get fired up and talk to people and preach and just literally just, I mean, preach the name of Jesus and ag at the same time. And so, you know, Ag Issues was something for me because I got to get fired up about a topic that's a problem in ag. I got to, you know, talk about stuff like that and share opinion, and which is not an opinionated competition, but like, in my head, I'm like fired up about what my character is. And so that was one of my favorite competitions. I also did CCM my freshman year, but it was messed up and it was virtual, so that was a mess. I did vet science one year. That was pretty good. And I did food science my senior year, and that was super fun. That is one thing that I wish that I could go back. I couldn't do food science my junior year because it was the same time as Ag Issues. So that was, you know, that was okay. But I wish that I would have had more time to do food science because that was so fun to me. That's one of my, like, favorite fun competitions in in FFA. So that's what I'd say my favorite competition is probably ag issues.
So one thing that I have said like a lot, like no matter what competition you do, you're gonna pull something from it. And you know, you could go in, I think I gave the whole like livestock picture like yesterday in one of the podcasts I was recording. I was like, yeah, you can go do livestock and not know a thing about livestock and still come out of it not knowing much, but you can still like learn, yeah, I can talk in front of people now when I give like reasons or something like that. And you know, it's awesome that everything's just catered to a certain part of like you growing as a leader. And you know, that's probably the best thing about FFA and all the competitions and all that kind of stuff. So
Right.
as an alum, or now that you're an FFA alumni, what is something that you took from FFA, like maybe like a leadership skill or an experience? Like what is something that you took throughout your time in FFA?
So my favorite thing that I took from FFA is just realizing that there's so much more. You know, whenever people think of FFA, honestly, they just think of redneck kids. Literally, like if you ask so many people, you know, in a school, what do you think FFA is? That's what they're gonna tell you. And it's so much more than just some farm kids. It is, you know, kids that love to talk to people. It's kids that love animals and plants, kids that love business and marketing, kids that love communications and video and making social media. Like, there's so much stuff that within FFA that you can do. And, you know, that's everybody's answer. You know, there's so much to do with FFA, but I take it deeper. When I say that there's so much more to FFA, like, FFA. Yes, there's different aspects of it in different parts, but there is so much more that you can take out of it. So like I said, my freshman year, I never would have thought that I would be where I am today, and the people that I've got to meet. So that's like, you know, there's so much more to FFA because when you look at FFA, you just see those things and those stereotypes, but you know, you see future leaders, you see legislators, you see business women and men, and you see farmers, and you see, you know, people that go into like ag medicine, like ag law. Like, you see different people that can do different things, and you find out what's best for you. But there's so much more to FFA because you get to learn and get to meet so many people. If you would have told me my freshman year, Layla, you're gonna be able to meet with the governor and Eric Mayberry and Jeff Akins and all of these different people that are within our state and even further than that, I would have been like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm not ever gonna get to be a part of anything like that. But I was. And so, you know, and that's the biggest thing too, is that it doesn't just stop whenever you graduate. My freshman and sophomore year, you know, I was involved in FFA, but my junior and senior year was whenever I really like dug in, was an officer, served the region, tried to do as many competitions as I could, went to as many events as I could, tried to get as much in because I knew that it wasn't going to last very long, but I knew that it was going to make an impact on my life, and it has. For instance, my senior year, I wanted to do work-based learning, and I didn't have a job at the time, so I was just finding somewhere that I could job shadow and intern. And so I picked Farm Bureau. So I've been working for Farm Bureau, and then come December, whenever I was supposed to leave because I was done for the semester, I got offered a job. And so I've been working for Farm Bureau for the past year. So that's opened an opportunity for me. Our representative, Rusty Grills, he's been a great friend of my dad's ever since they were kids and known him for a long time. Good man, good Christian man, good leader. And I've been able to, not just through my dad and just knowing him since I was a kid, But I've been able to meet with him more, talk legislative stuff, talk stuff that's going to affect agriculture in our state. He's opened me up the opportunity. I met with the governor. Like, there's so many different things that FFA is. And so, as an alumna, I can't really pick my favorite thing that I took from FFA. I took all of the memories, and I took all of the knowledge and the skills that I gained. But FFA really has put a lot into me. It wasn't just me being able to talk to people through competitions and through going to interviews or places like that. It was just you get to meet so many different people throughout the state, whether it's members, advisors, people that work for companies. It truly is one of the biggest organizations that help open you up into your career. It's just like with anything else, like HOSA, FCCLA, anything like that. You're going to get to meet a lot of different people that are big deal people and that are going to make an impact on your life. But I believe that FFA, like, if you're wanting to go into that path, there's so many different paths that you can take, but it opens you up as a person and as an individual. And so I've really taken a lot from FFA of how it's really impacted my life. Because when I think about it, I wouldn't really be who I am today without it. I wouldn't have the knowledge that I do. I wouldn't have met the people that I met and worked the job that I work now. Like, it's just, and I'm not even in college yet. And there's so much that I've gotten to do over the past year that I would have laughed at you if you told me I was going to be, because I would have thought you were lying. And that's just, I think there's so much joy and so much gratefulness, and how blessed we are to be able to have an organization that we do that leads us in the directions that we want to be in and helps us. And, if you want to meet with this person and talk to them, somebody knows the people to talk to get them to you. And, if you want to do this and that, like, you have the opportunities and you have the courage and the strength and the support systems to get you there. And so I think that, I've taken a lot from FFA, but the most thing is that there's so much more from it. So, and I truly believe that.
There's one question that I really like to leave off like almost every single podcast with. Of course, every single person has a different like piece of advice that they would give to somebody, but what would your piece of advice be to an FFA member that wants to step out of their comfort zone and like do more in FFA?
So my piece of advice would prayer. I know that whenever I was really stuck in a decision this past year for FFA, because I wasn't really sure if it was going to be something that I was going to want to be able to, if I wasn't really sure if it was going to be something that was going to benefit me. It was kind of one of those things where I just really wanted to do it just to say that I did it, but I really didn't know if it was going to benefit me at all. And so whenever I have to make those decisions and step out of my comfort zone and say, hey, is this going to be something that's going to benefit me? I really just pray about it. And, I believe heavily in praying and asking for specific answers, because he's going to answer our prayers. He is. But we have to pray specifically, and he will answer them specifically. And so most of the time, and I always pray, show me if this is what you need me to do and help me with it. And so that's the biggest advice that I would give, is to just pray about it and see if it's something that he wants you to do. And if you know that, like, if you feel it on your heart that you really want to do it and it's like a community thing, or that you need to do it, then he will make a way and he will help it be possible for you. And if you're not a prayer person, then if you feel that it's right and you know that it's going to help you in the end and you have support with it, then just do it. It's going to be scary. FFA was scary for me at times, because I was like, there's no way that I'm going to be able to do this, because, there's not a lot of people that do it, and I'm going to be different, and all these other different things. And there's so many thoughts that go into your head, but just do it. The worst thing that can happen is you lose or something happens, and it's okay. You tried and you stepped out of your comfort zone, and you showed your advisors and you showed everybody that you were worth it and that you have potential. And so that's definitely the advice that I would give, is to just pray about it and see if it's going to be something for you and see what the Lord has for you in store.
Yeah, definitely. I wholeheartedly agree with praying about everything. That's something that I really found, you know, like something that I can honestly just go to if, like, you know, bomb a competition. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to pray about it, see, you know, what the Lord's plan is with everything. And, you know, that's just something that, like, a lot of people tend to do with some stuff. And yeah. So I've enjoyed having you on the podcast today. Is there any, like, closing remarks that you'd like to give?
I don't really think so, other than, you know, FFA isn't for everybody. It accepts everybody. But if you don't feel like it's a place for you, then that's okay. But, you know, we're going to try to, everybody's going to try to help you with it as much as they can. It's going to be, you know, it's great that we have a generation that we do now with social media and with encouragement, because agriculture has changed, and especially the industry of trying to outreach and with FFA. And so I think that we have some great leaders, and we have great people across our nation and our state and even in our communities, and people like you who are trying to share the joy of agriculture and making it be what it is supposed to be, a place for hope and love and joy and just the blessings that we have that he has given us, and we get to use them throughout agriculture. So I think that everyone should try FFA just to see if it's something that they enjoy, because it's not just you're going to grow up and be a farmer. You can grow up and you can change the world.
Yeah, so, of course, thank you for being on the podcast today. I definitely enjoyed talking to you and hearing about your experience over the years. So that is all that I have for this episode, y'all. So I will be back next Monday with another episode. And until then, thank y'all for listening, and bye.